You're listening to The Job. It's a rainy day in Portland. Today's guest will be Thayer Janu. But first, let's talk to Candace Briglib. Hi, Candace.
Hi, Ray.
How are you?
I'm doing well. It is so rainy here. Every time this hits, I forget that this is Portland weather, right? This is what the next 9 months will be like.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But sometimes it's easy to forget in the beautiful summers. Hey.
There's applause on the third floor here in this building periodically, so.
It's a bonus of the space. That's nice.
This makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You had raclette last night?
Yeah.
Tell us what that is.
It is cheese.
You were at the cheese bar in Portland.
I was at the cheese bar, Steve Jones' space.
A former guest. Friend of the show.
Yes. And so they have a machine that someone was saying it's kind of like, did you ever have a parent that when they were lighting charcoal, like there's like a charcoal lighting rod that you stick in the charcoal and flick it and it lights it? I did not grow up with this machine.
No, but...
Okay. So anyways, the raclette getup is basically like something like that. That's like at an angle to the cheese, and it slowly like melts it and sort of broils. And as it melts, you have like roasted vegetables on a warm plate underneath, and the cheese melts onto these beautiful roasted vegetables.
Is it good?
It's amazing. Of course it's good. Yeah, it was really good. It was great. It was...
I gotta get down there and try that.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's a weekly... I'll check.
It sounds delightfully rich. You'd want a good wine to cut through that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or three or five.
I had a nice red. Actually, the same red that I then brought home
good.
For you
yeah,
to
I tried
try.
That, yeah.
No, it was a different red.
Yeah, it was still
Sorry.
Good. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have the raclette either, so.
So, yes, it was lovely. It was there with Amy Ruppel, who is always fun, and Steve Jones was there serving, so it was sort of a perfect rainy night. I showed up, so I walked there, and the downpour started, and
it was pouring.
It was pouring. It was more than a normal Portland.
No, yeah, it was dumping down.
And I remember earlier saying to you, like, something along the lines of, like, real Portlanders don't use umbrellas. I was, like, walking in this downpour with this umbrella that did not work, and it was flooding so much that I was on the sidewalk, and at first it was just like flooding in the streets, but then the flood came up to the sidewalk. So it was just like walking uphill, up Tabor, with like floods just coming down, holding an umbrella. And I was like, something doesn't feel right. And I touched my head, and it was soaked as if I had just left a shower.
Why don't you throw that umbrella out if it's got holes in it? You said it had holes in it, right?
That's all I could imagine.
It was just super rainy and windy, probably.
It wasn't windy. That was the other thing. It was very
rainy.
Probably
the wind was.
There was no wind. No.
So today's guest is Thayer Janu of Storage Studies.
Yes.
He does really cool stuff. You should visit his website and check it out. And we're going to talk to him about some of that stuff right now. Hi, Thayer.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Very well.
So you make, your company is Storage Studies. You make storage solutions out of wood, essentially.
Yes.
Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah.
Okay. How did you get interested in doing that? Where did this idea come from?
I've always really liked plywood for some reason, and I had worked as a computer-aided design drafter for a while, and at some point decided that it would be interesting to make storage studies. I'm a very disorganized person myself, and
so you're the target market.
Yeah.
What is unique about what you do? I mean, is it essentially, do you still use sort of, like, what kind of equipment do you use to make this? This is not something you're just taking a saw and cutting pieces
No,
of wood.
I became aware of these routers, which are under computer control,
okay.
which is something that I more or less understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that if the woodworking aspect of the thing could be outsourced to a machine, then I might be able to do it.
Okay.
Because I never felt I was a good carpenter or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
As it turns out, you still need to have a few of those hand-on skills. But essentially, this machine takes a full sheet of plywood and can cut any shape, any arbitrary shapes, very precisely, quite
okay.
quickly.
Okay. And then you just kind of assemble those into a product. So you have to basically come with a blueprint, run it through a machine, and then kind of put it all together.
Yeah. You can either design the shapes by hand, or I've also written some software which allows you to specify dimensions,
okay.
and the shapes are drawn based on the dimensions.
So is this, when you're like coming up with a product, is it, do you just do it in like a, pardon my ignorance about 3D software, but do you use something like AutoCAD or something like that?
Yes, it's called Rhino 3D, which
okay.
is similar to AutoCAD.
Okay.
And it's more popular among jewelers and furniture makers, and things like that, whereas AutoCAD is aimed more at the architectural world.
Right.
But they're quite similar.
Hmm. Is that what you call, is that, I saw a mention of CNC woodcutting, is that what that is?
Yeah.
What does that stand for?
Computer and numeric control.
Oh, okay. Okay. Numeric. So tell me about your, for instance, tell me about your Flavor Lab spice rack. So this thing, for the listeners at home, is kind of like a rack that holds like almost test tubes with spices plugged in by a cork?
Yeah, it's just the largest size test tube that I could find.
Okay.
In a very simple rack so that you can obviously access the spices easily and see what they are based on, you know, visually.
Uh-huh.
And just had fun making a simple rack that would contain all of them.
It seems like that would be a popular product because it's such a, it's so unique and it's kind of like a conversation piece.
Well, interestingly, I've sold more in Europe and Australia than I have in America.
That is interesting.
And interestingly, too, I've seen that the idea of spice racks made from test tubes is quite popular on Etsy.
Huh.
Unfortunately, most of those test tubes are the regular test tube size, which is not really big enough
uh-huh.
to be a useful spice container.
Bunch of inferior knockoffs on Etsy, huh?
Well, no, I think that, you know, test tube spice storage was sort of a meme, which I certainly did not originate.
Uh-huh.
But, so there are a lot there, yeah.
Yeah. I was reading through your lovely website. And I think some of the writing on it is actually kind of funny. It actually reflects your sense of humor. Do you do a lot of writing yourself?
Not really.
No? Okay.
No.
Do you have a background in writing at all? It seems like it seems very humorous. Very.
I used to edit translations of computer manuals.
Oh wow! Okay.
That's.
I wasn't expecting that. That is not what your copy sounded like. I think we originally met through a mutual friend and past podcast guest, Jason Sturgill. You made stairs for him? Is that right?
No, I made... He has a very interesting mid-century house and had found a shelf and cabinet design in a book about mid-century design. Mm-hmm. And I sort of knocked it off for him, essentially.
Huh. So it was like installed in his staircase, or?
No, it's right in his living room.
Okay, I don't know why I'm thinking staircase here. Do you do a lot of cooking?
I do.
Is this what got you? Is this where the idea of the spice racks came from?
Yeah, actually, I realized I needed spice storage myself, and it took me, you know, only 1 or 2 years after I built it for myself to realize that maybe there could be a wider audience for such a thing. I'm fast that way.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of spices in your kitchen?
70.
70?
Yeah.
How the hell do you know that number?
Well, plus or minus.
Okay. You have that much shelving, so you just know there's so okay. Do you use them often? Like, do spices like these go bad?
Spices, if they're ground up, go bad. There are a few things you can do to keep them fresh. Keep them sealed, obviously. Keep them in the dark. Light is an enemy of spices. They do go bad, and that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you put dates on them?
That would be organized.
So no? Do you have like a favorite, or is there like a spice that's like the most underappreciated spice?
Favorites? Well, saffron is right up there.
Saffron is a nice spice.
Yeah. Not a favorite per se. There are a few spice mixtures that I've recently become aware of that I like. There's something called Bear from, I believe it's Ethiopia, which is a little bit sharp. It's got an interesting flavor. There's another mixture from Morocco called Ras El Hanout, which is lovely. But no favorites. I mean, even the, you know, even black peppercorns can be, you know, sort of exploited in interesting ways.
The much maligned black pepper.
Yeah.
I have a for me, it's Italian. I'm joking. I remember being back in my college days when that was the go-to spice, but no. So that's interesting to hear you name those spices. I remember when we first met, you turned us on to Nong's Kaomangai food cart?
Oh, right, yeah.
Do you remember that? You still go there? It was amazing. It was like, what is that? Is that Korean?
No, she makes a Chinese chicken dish. It's great. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Do you still go to food carts much? Are there, you have favorites in Portland right now?
Food carts? No. No, I cook at home. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Prices seem to be
You're
too
getting
high.
Old? This was like a year ago.
Well, no, it wasn't, actually. It was quite a while
ago. Was it? Okay.
We did this.
Okay.
When I go out, I have too much sticker shock. So I try and cook at home, essentially.
We passed you the other night on Division. Where were you going then?
Yeah, that's... well, we went out to the new Bollywood Theater on Division.
Did you?
Yes.
How'd you like that?
That was terrific.
Have you been to, did you been to the other one?
Yeah.
Okay. Similar?
They seem identical, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, boy, Division is pretty crazy these days.
Yeah, and it's going to get even crazier, isn't it? When all those those condos are...
A ton of those opening up.
Yeah.
It's weird. Do you have any exciting projects you're working on in the future in terms of storage studies?
Well, there are a lot of ideas percolating. Mm-hmm. Nothing quite firm as yet.
How do you come up with a new... Is it just a lot of trial and error? Come up with an idea, you just try to figure out how the heck to build it?
Well... That's interesting. There is the phenomenon of the solution in search of a problem.
Yeah.
Which I'm quite familiar with. I really try and winnow ideas down to the ones which really make sense
right. And
are really useful.
So storage studies, this is what you do full time. It's your thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much time on an average day or week do you spend in front of that router?
The router is, it's not fast, but it's probably one of the less time-consuming parts of the thing.
Okay. What takes the most time of doing that stuff for you?
If you're in production, gluing things up and sanding them and bringing them to a high level of finish, that's a very open-ended process that will take as much time as you care to give it.
Hmm.
And to get a big challenge is to get a consistent level of quality without, resorting to just hours and hours spent getting it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that, as time goes on, I become more critical of things. And, some spice racks I made 6 months ago might not, pass the quality.
Might not pass muster anymore.
Exactly.
When you, do you ever... visit friends or people who have something that you made a few years ago and...
Oh, yeah, it's deeply embarrassing, usually.
Keep sandpaper in your pocket or something. Maybe your business card should have sandpaper on the back for little touch-ups.
That's a good idea,
That actually is a good idea. Yeah. That would definitely make an impression. It'd be hard to keep in your wallet, but...
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me there.
Well, thank you even more for thinking that I might have something interesting to say.
Cool.
2 weeks away from the Woo Conference in San Francisco. How's your presentation coming, Candace?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Yeah. I'm excited.
So why don't you tell us, can you at least tell us what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think I've actually talked about this.
Okay, are we under NDA here?
Before? No. It's posted on their website, so I think I can probably chat about it as much as I want. But it's basically talking about taking some of the tools from anthropology. So anthropology is all about studying cultures and figuring out why people do what they do.
Digging up cool shit.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Of course, Indiana Jones, it's totally that. So it's basically taking those tools and applying them to learning more about brands so that we can do a better job of creating websites that have the feel and the draw that we're going for. And I think it's been really useful. I mean, we use a lot of those tools all the time here in the studio, and... I've been looking over our portfolio more getting ready for this, and thinking a lot about that idea of, you know, you've got a person, you've got a product, and then you have how that person feels after they've engaged with the product, and how we're consistently designing towards the feel. And looking at some of our websites, and it's like, it's true, some of our most successful websites in terms of the amount of sales that are going through them do not have product images immediately or at all sometimes. And I think that's a testament to how well, if you can really get the feel of being involved with something, being involved with a brand, that it's usually not like, here's the package, here's, you know, here's a photo of a cup of Joe. It's like, you know, there's more going on. So it's been really good for me to be able to reflect on our work and how we get to some of the points that we get to. And obviously it's only a 15-minute talk, so...
Are you going to turn it into a book?
What?
Are you going to turn it into a book?
What do you mean?
Are you going to write a book?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I think you should. It'd make a great a book apart thing. Those are like 100 pages. I mean, yeah, starting with a blog post would be great. I would love to see you share this, but I think that it's super insightful. And I got it. Okay, you should write a book. Random question.
I would love that, because the talk is so short that I've literally been throwing away like 80% of the research. Probably should have not deleted it all. I thought I was going to write a book. But yeah, I like writing. I would write a book.
Well, you do have that older version we saved.
Yeah.
So Indiana Jones, why does he always have a whip? Like that photo you put in there, it's like he has a, like, who's he whipping? What is he whipping with that thing? At what point does he need a whip?
Well, Indiana Jones is actually an archaeologist.
Right, but we should make that clear for the audience. There's a joke in there. Your humor. He's not an anthropologist.
When I would tell people I was getting a degree in anthropology in my
they conflate younger the two. They years, think that you're...
Without fail, people would always, oh, Indiana Jones. Not Indiana Jones. Although, so Indiana archaeology is like, and I don't want to offend any of my friends that are archaeologists, because we did take some of the same classes together, and they're fascinating people. But they're more about the study of like artifacts of some probably more likely like cultures that you're digging up artifacts and trying to figure out something about culture from what's left behind. And anthropology is about jumping into, or at least culture anthropology, which is what I know more about, jumping into like a living, breathing, happening right now culture, something that's happening right now, and observing it and figuring out people's motivation or why they're doing, you know, why they're doing what they're doing based on like observing the now. So it's a little different. But the whip... I have no idea.
Okay,
My biggest recollection is him like running through a tunnel and a boulder coming after him,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Though I don't see that like the whip wouldn't really apply. It's either that or people think like Jane Goodall, who works with.
That's not anthropology, is it? Not if it's an animal. She works with those,
chimps, right? Yeah. Is it chimpanzees that she works with? I think so. Or is it gorillas?
Well, it's not humans. We know that. So it's not anthropology. It's not anthropology if it's not humans, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it is, or yes, it isn't?
No, you're right. It's not anthropology if it's not humans.
Okay. That would be different. So what is she?
Primatologist?
Ooh. I like your guess. I mean, I would buy that. I don't know if it's true.
You can look at
primatologist.
She's amazing.
No,
by the way, I've read.
We even have a kids' book based on her life, which is really cute.
Yeah, and when I see the work that she does, I think how it actually seems more like anthropology to me than archaeology does, because when I look at like she's sitting there, she's. In the middle of, like, I think it is chimpanzees. I think it was someone else that's kind of known for the gorillas. So, you know, she's sitting there and she's becoming as close to one of them as possible. Like, they're at the point where they would allow her to sit around and observe. She's not necessarily becoming a chimpanzee, but she's, you know, learning their individual personalities and culture. And, you know, she's basically, like, figuring out the rules of their culture without being able to have a conversation with them. That's like, what is the rule behind this? And that is so fascinating to me. Like, that is quite close to, except with cultural anthropology, you can also, you know, pull on written documents
right.
and, like, a, you know, a bunch of other things.
Well, okay, so you were correct in both that she is a primatologist and it's chimpanzees. So I'm impressed.
Is it Diane Fossey that was working with gorillas?
Oh, I'm not going to Google that, too.
What? Okay. Well, there was that movie Gorillas in the Mist.
Okay, right? I never saw that. Was that Sigourney Weaver?
Yes, yes, she was the scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she was, yeah, it was Sigourney Weaver. She did all that research, of course. She's the
one. She studied aliens, too. Did you know that?
Oh, my God.
So I'm making an iBook. We are making an iBook of...
I'm not touching this iBook project.
Of the podcast.
Yeah.
Do we have to ask people we've interviewed for permission if we're just giving the book away? I should at least ask, just to be nice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's going to be rad. And maybe you should make an iBook out of your talk. Mm-hmm. This would be your first book.
If you let us.
What do you mean?
No, I'm joking. You're like, you know, should I ask? It's like, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ray. The iBook sounds really interesting.
For the podcast or for making one out of your talk?
For the podcast, yeah. One of my favorite things about this podcast is that we also transcribe it and, you know, can access those. Because I end up reading most of them. My second favorite thing is the fact that you only transcribe the interviews and not this part. So I can read the entire interview and never have to deal with the fact that this happens.
Right.
This right now.
Right, this.
So let's go on with our day.
Okay.
I think that the next time we're back, we will have been back from San Francisco.
Yeah, we'll see you guys in San Francisco.